California childhood. I grew up on the foggy coastline of the Monterey Bay, which in the 80s still retained a lot of that Birkenstock, Volvo station wagon, patchouli oil vibe. And so the various homes that I frequented throughout my adolescence all featured some variation of a small, multifaceted teardrop prism strung onto fishing wire and hung to dangle over the kitchen sink window. And I remember as a child watching with total fascination as the prism would slowly rotate, jostled by breeze or heat or my own small fingers, and project a rainbow disco ball splatter that would glide across the entire room. And it wasn't until years later, in my middle school science class, that I learned about the physics of light and how it is that the glass of the prism breaks up the light into all the colors of the rainbow. And I learned that every color has its own frequency or wavelength, and they all move at different speeds. The light that our eyes perceive as white enters the glass and then is bent or refracted into a differentiated spectrum of colors. And so it was a dispersive prism that helped in my own discovery that white was not actually a color on its own, but it was a mixture of all the colors. And this was a piece of childhood trivia that I delighted in. I was quite the smarty pants. And so there was nothing I loved more than being asked what my favorite color was, just so I could pretentiously respond with white, because white is all the colors. I was a fun kid. So you can imagine Marcella's inner child delighting at the image that today's text from the Gospel of Luke presents, which is that of Jesus Christ radiating bright white light. And this is a theological moment known as the Transfiguration. This is a significant spiritual event that takes place on top of a mountain and is witnessed by several of the disciples. And so as Jesus is praying, we are told that the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became dazzling white. The Gospel of Matthew tells the same story, and he says that his face shone like the sun. And Moses and Elijah, the two great prophets of Israel, are both present and conferring with Jesus. And the disciples' reaction to this whole scene becomes one of the funniest moments in the entire Bible, when Peter offers to build tents for these three glowing spiritual powerhouses, as if. And then the moment concludes when the whole party is engulfed by the thundercloud presence of God, and they all hear the words, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." And so even though the life story of Jesus of Nazareth is scattered with glimpses into his divine nature, the Transfiguration is a very major turning point. It is here when we truly, without a doubt, irreversibly come to know Jesus in a new way. Everything has changed. And it's not expected or logical or easy to understand. And as always, the gospel accounts only ever give us a sliver of the detail that we would prefer. But Transfiguration defies our need to know. It is a spiritual and theological moment that is enigmatic, esoteric, and deeply mystical. It's a significant departure from, up to this point, what has been a fairly straightforward narrative. And this is a veering off course that takes us tumbling through a prismatic, mountainside wild ride and lands us in a wholly new reality. A transformed reality. A definitively queer reality. Yes, the Transfiguration is inherently queer. An identity which was once presumed to be defined and fixed suddenly becomes fluid, unstable. Jesus, the human, the rabbi, the friend, the beloved, is transfigured into a new person, a hybrid being. This text has even been referred to as Jesus' coming out story. And it is this incredibly powerful statement on identity and on the multi-dimensionality and dynamism of creation. And so for many of us who identify somewhere on the LGBTQ+ spectrum, this story might feel very familiar. But like most of scripture, it can be read in infinitely different ways. And this text in particular has a history, a decidedly unqueer history. And it has an interpretation that has been perpetuated in the undeniably imperialist corners of our shared tradition. And so this text, along with a whole bunch of other biblical references to light and to brightness, have contributed to a narrative that has sought to equate goodness and godliness with whiteness. Yes, a particular interpretation of the Transfiguration has functioned as a divine endorsement of white supremacy and anti-blackness. And so it's important that we name that, and that we acknowledge it, and that we lament it. I wish this was not a part of our collective story. And so I stand here today to reclaim it. I want to reclaim that light, that brightness, armed with a middle school science textbook and my dispersive prism. Because I learned as a kid that whiteness isn't even a color. And I learned as an adult that whiteness is a construct. And from a queer perspective, the equation of lightness with whiteness is so deeply ironic. It would be hilarious if it wasn't so insidious. Because the Transfiguration is pure rainbow. It is theological refraction. What we perceive as one solid, static force is being broken, bent, transfigured into a spectrum of beautiful and different parts. Jesus is human flesh and blood, and Jesus is divine light and energy. This is a moment that flings the rainbow glitter of salvation and liberation into the dull, sepia corners of sin and oppression. The Transfiguration is God inviting us into the sacred power and process of diversity. And in this moment, Jesus occupies a hybrid space, a spectrum of light space. As the Son of God, the Chosen One, the Light of the world, He is functioning as a prism for God's radiant power. And by virtue of the Incarnation, that means that we also function in that way. As children of God, we too operate as spiritual prisms, refracting the life-changing power of God's light. Yes, we are conduits of that sacred rainbow that cannot be contained or controlled or regulated. The multicolored glory of God does not fit in a dwelling on the side of a mountain. It is not contained by the ugly, haphazard tents of white supremacy or patriarchy or homophobia. God's light is meant to be refracted far and wide, and we must commit to dismantling those systems and ideologies that seek to engage in reverse refraction, that would have us take that rainbow and force it back through the prism in a toxic and futile attempt to create a homogeneous beam. Look at the rainbow and praise God who made it. It is exceedingly beautiful in its brightness. It encircles the sky with its glorious arc. The hands of the Most High have stretched it out. As disciples of Christ, we are in the business of refraction. We are, each of us, continuing to be created in the radiant, shape-shifting image of the divine. Our countless facets, our beautifully fluid identities, they are reflections of holiness. Beloveds in Christ, let us serve as dispersive prisms for God. Let the droplets of our baptismal waters shimmer out the kaleidoscopic promise of love and justice to all whom we encounter. Let us go forth from this place in the power of our diversity to refract the great rainbow of God's glory out into the world.